Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through this passage from the Acts of the Apostles that I've been looking at so far this week. By the way, if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. You can listen to them in any way right there on the computer or put them on whatever device you'd like. You could also get our app. While you're on the app or while you're on our website, I wanted to mention to you a few weeks back, we celebrated our annual Renewal Ministries gathering. We had Patty Mansfield was our guest, and there were many good, really inspiring talks on the weekend, one by Ralph Martin, Patty Mansfield, myself, Dr. Peter Williamson, and others, and those are all now available. You can get them on our website or our YouTube site, which you can access through Renewal Ministries. I think you'll be really inspired by them. Pretty much everybody who came felt like this was the most significant, kind of anointed, powerful gathering we've ever had. We also had Steve Dawson, the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization, gave a wonderful testimony. He has a very inspiring story, and he's a funny speaker, but he's also got a lot of substance. So we're going to dig in here to the Acts, and we mentioned yesterday, we ended by saying that each one of us who are baptized into Christ, we are witnesses, and we're temples of the Holy Spirit. Why did I say that? Because Peter's standing before the Sanhedrin, and they told him to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, and then Peter turns around and does exactly what they told him not to do, because he knows he has to do it, and he wants to do it. His heart's burning to do it. In his burning love for Christ, his burning love, though, for those he's speaking to. They're grinding their teeth at him. They're super angry at him. They're trying to shut him down, and Peter wants to give them the words of salvation. He wants to tell the religious leaders that, yes, they too need salvation. They too need to repent and have their sins forgiven, which is what Peter describes here. He says, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses to these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So that made him even more angry, to have Peter be so bold, right in their face, saying they not only saying the name of Jesus, but also accusing them of being involved in the killing of Jesus, which was true, and then also saying that they needed repentance and forgiveness of sins. Now, that's a long way from Holy Thursday night for Peter, who that night denied even knowing Jesus out of fear and out of inordinate self-love, and he was subject to concupiscence in himself, the flesh. His flesh was weak. Jesus told him the flesh is weak, and the flesh is weak in each one of us, and what strengthened Peter is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told him, I'll give you my spirit. You're going to be dragged before men, before rulers. Don't be afraid of what you're supposed to say. I'll tell you what to say. The Holy Spirit, that is, Jesus through the Holy Spirit, will give you the words to speak. And here's Peter beautifully, perfectly fulfilling exactly what Jesus commanded him to do. I'm sitting here with a smile thinking about this story this morning because of how kind the Lord is and how much the Lord is in our camp. And even though there was a time when Peter followed Jesus at a distance, and there's times when I've done that and maybe when you've done that, that Jesus isn't that way at all. He's all there. He's with Peter. He's standing with Peter. He's fulfilling his promises to Peter. And he's revealing to Peter that he's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. He's a merciful, loving, kind, great, awesome God. And it's being revealed here in this moment for Peter. What a fantastic sight. Peter, I'm imagining as I sit here that Peter wouldn't want to be anywhere else other than where he was. He could have been offered the biggest castle in the world, in the best place in Israel, or the most comfortable, beautiful spot on the face of the earth, all the money in the world. If he could be somewhere else, the devil could have tempted him, probably did, just like he tempted Jesus in the desert to sell out, to turn away from the mission and to settle for kingdoms and to settle for power and fame and money and the rest. And Peter's standing there, no, I'm standing right where my master stood. And I'm now beginning to have the hatred against God that's in the human heart is starting to come against me now. And I'm actually experiencing God's grace so much so that I love the people who hate me. And I know, because Jesus told me, that the day was coming when they would bind me and tie my hands. And Peter knew probably he was going to be martyred. But he was grateful and joyful to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And so much so that Peter taught brothers and sisters in communities he was leading who were under persecution and trial in later years, later times. And he said this to them about the suffering they were enduring for Jesus. He said, "Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief." Don't suffer for the wrong reasons, he's saying. "Yet if one suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but under that name, let him glorify God." Now, this is Peter who, again, he denied knowing Jesus and tried to escape from his destiny. But the Lord gave him a second chance. And now Peter's standing, and Peter's before the Sanhedrin, and he's not saying, "Wait a minute, why is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through these difficulties? Why do I have to take this rejection from leaders and people and being marginalized by society and being threatened and even beaten? I mean, aren't I supposed to be, living in blessing and prospering? And didn't Jesus say not a hair on my head will be harmed and all this? And wait a minute, I'm losing my fishing, business, everything's going out the window. I have nothing left. And literally, probably the guys I'm looking at are going to kill me. So where's the value add? And this isn't what I thought life was going to be." That's a very common human response. I mean, I'm obviously putting words in Peter's mouth, but I know before the Sanhedrin, Peter had already come to terms with dying to this world. And Peter knew he was walking in grace. He was experiencing it. And what he was experiencing was the greatest gift he could ever have, to be totally, radically identified with Jesus and to experience what Jesus experienced and to make his life an offering to God, just like Jesus's was. His life became, for Peter, it's an offering of love. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And brothers, there's no greater love in a man than this, that you'd lay down your life for your friends." And Peter's saying, "Here it is, brothers. Just as Jesus told us it would be. This is our moment. Let's help each other stand strong. Let's not turn. Let's not, like cowards, run away. This is our moment. This is the moment to bear witness to Jesus. And we're going to get all the help we need from the Holy Spirit. And he'll take care of our wives, and he'll take care of our kids, and he'll take care of everything. We simply must be faithful in this time of trial." And so Peter's giving perspective now later to, before he was eventually martyred, to young Christians who were following him and were beginning to experience persecution. So what's his teaching? First of all, he calls them beloved. He reminds them, "You're loved. You're loved by God." Jesus told us very clearly. He said, "As the Father loved me, so I love you." How does Jesus love you? Love us just the way the Father loved Jesus. And the Father loves us the way he loved Jesus, right? And he looks at us as his children, totally all in, coming to save us. So first of all, you're the beloved. He'll never leave you. He'll never abandon you. Number two, don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that comes upon you. Why? Because Jesus said it would happen. And therefore, it's not something to be feared. He foretold what would happen for all of us in a fallen world that resists God. And he said, now this is coming to prove you, to test you. Peter failed the first test he had. But Jesus gave him, the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, gave him a chance, and he stood, and he's standing in this story. He's being faithful. He knows that he's being purified. What's being purified? His inordinate self-love, his cowardice, his anger, his hatred for these people. Jesus is teaching him how to love. He's being conformed through the furnace of trial. He's being purified. And there's part of Peter, his flesh, that's saying, I want to get out of here, maybe, to say, this isn't going to end well. I want to get out of here. I want to talk my way out of this. No, Peter's heart and his spirit keeps him right there, right in the middle of the furnace, because he knows he's being proved and tested and purified. He said, this is not something strange that's happening to you, because Peter understood it wasn't strange that he was put in this place of being rejected by the religious leaders that he had followed. But he said, how do you respond? Rejoice. And that's what we'll see in this story. Peter leaves and he ends up rejoicing. He's rejoicing that he can suffer for the name of Jesus. And he says this very important thing. If you're reproached for the name of Jesus, if you're mocked, ridiculed, condescended to, rejected, if anger is directed towards you, this is a good thing. Peter said, you are blessed. Why are you blessed? You know, God's favor is on you. What's the favor? God's Spirit of glory, the Holy Spirit, is manifested in you, and you're getting a share in the glory and the very life of Jesus and the way of Jesus and the thoughts and the love and the heart of Jesus. It's all on you. And you can offer that pain, that difficulty, as a sacrifice of love to God. It's amazing. And the Spirit of God rests upon you, he said. I think today, friends, too many of us are getting cold feet because the world is getting more bold in its resistance and hatred for the church. I mean, the world has never been a friend of the church, ever. There was a time when the church had power, when she had huge influence because large percentage of the population followed the Lord at some level and were active in the faith and were trying to live according to God's purpose, imperfectly, but were. And so politicians and people who didn't believe but were influential in society, they had to play their cards right because they didn't want to alienate the majority of people for whatever reason, for political votes, for money, you name it. They couldn't resist it, so they kind of went along and quietly. But now they can smell it. They can smell blood in the water. They can smell the church's vulnerability and its weakness. And so their rage against the Lord, it's really a rage against the Lord, but it's against the church. And, you know, the church is now the big institution that stands in the way of human freedom, supposedly, and absolute total capacity for every person to define their own existence, the meaning of reality. If people want to call a square a circle, everybody has to salute their right to do that and play along with in some way, to live a gigantic lie and to live as if God doesn't exist, or to take God's teaching and to twist it and to change it according to our will. And we demand that God salute our way, our virtue, our great virtue, our great new moral system that we ourselves are constructing. And so it's not going to be good in days ahead from the perspective of comfort, friends, in the world. And we should listen to Peter. Don't be surprised that this is coming. This is a blessing. This is a test for you. And the question is, am I ready for the test? Am I living in faith? Do I really want to be conformed to the person of Jesus Christ? We'll continue this conversation tomorrow, friends. I hope you can join us. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.